So cute.
Jackie connects you to your community.
FM.
So obviously I want to thank everybody for joining me today. I've got three special people in studio to talk about this year's Heart Walk here in Seattle, and there's one in Tacoma. So we're going to make sure everybody knows that there's two locations. I've got with me Don McCutcheon. There we go. Now, you're a Survivor and Community Teams Committee member for the American Heart Association?
Correct, yes.
Okay, great. And then I've got Steve Corday. You're a researcher at the University of Washington.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're going to talk a little bit with you about, you know, just in general heart disease. I don't think people understand how big of a range it covers, really, and who maybe could possibly have an issue with it, and signs to look at, all sorts of things we can probably cover with that, because I do think that's something that people don't quite know. And I've also got Francesca here. She's a communications director for the Heart Walk or the American Heart Association?
For the American Heart Association.
You cover it all.
Yes.
You're the lady. Okay. So KISS obviously is teaming up with you guys this year, which is exciting, and we are making sure to make everyone know that today you can go to kissfmseattle.com, click on the events page, and if they are listening to this today and they go, you know, I think I want to do that this year, or I've got a relative that's dealt with that and I want to support that, they can click on that link, go to the events page, and actually sign up for the walk, which makes it really easy and quick. And, you know, getting registered ahead of time for walks is always a good idea. So let's start off, Dawn. I want to start off with you because you're a survivor and you're young.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Young and adorable. We were walking in the studio and we said, you know, isn't it weird how so many people, you hear about heart disease all the time, or, you know, heart attacks and all these different things, but you just, in your mind, picture someone that's older.
Absolutely.
And you were diagnosed, you had issues pretty young.
Yeah, I was 38 when I suffered cardiac arrest, and I now live with a pacemaker to hopefully prevent that from happening again. It's something that I was aware of. My father actually passed away of heart disease at the age of 52, so there was definitely a family history. So you would think that I would be very aware of it, which I was, but I still was shocked when it happened.
Because you thought, I'm a healthy person, I'm young, I'm busy.
I'm female.
Yeah.
And it's a men's disease is what I thought. And part of my volunteer work that I've done with the Go Red campaign with the American Heart Association and working with the community teams with the Heart Walk, I think the number one thing I learned was that it is the number one killer of women. And unfortunately, you know, when you do ask people, they can't answer that question. They believe that it's cancer when actually heart disease kills more women than all cancers combined every year.
Really? See, yes. And I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because you said, okay, so your dad had heart disease.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My mom is now in her 60s. She has also a pacemaker and has had a triple bypass. Her father died from a heart attack fairly young. So now I know that I need to be watching out for myself because you don't realize how it can be passed along so easily.
That's one of the part of the Heart Association's goal and the campaign is to educate people on what the risk factors are. And family history is one of the biggest risk factors with heart disease.
Did you feel anything leading up to cardiac arrest? Like, had you been feeling cruddy? Or do you look back now and go, gosh, there were signs, but I didn't know to look for these signs?
Absolutely. Actually, I had had a year of some fainting issues and kind of battling being sick quite a bit. And I actually happened to be in the hospital in a room on a monitor when I had my cardiac arrest. I was being hospitalized for a viral infection that wouldn't go away.
It's like your immune system was really shot.
Yes.
And telling you something was wrong.
Yes. So I actually happened to be on a cardiac monitor when my cardiac arrest happened. You can't really get any more lucky than that.
No, other than winning like Powerball.
I was told to definitely buy a lottery ticket that week, but I was kind of busy getting the surgery. But it was dumb luck, really. And I was at Overlake, and it just happened to happen at the right time on a monitor, and which was great because I didn't believe it, and it was something they actually had to show me the printout that it had happened.
When it started coming on, were you like suddenly, do you feel like you're freaking out? Like,
I just felt like I was going to pass out, and I did.
Oh, okay.
And when I came to, there was about a dozen people in the room, and the paddles were getting ready to go, and the atropine shot, and they were getting ready to revive me, and I was quite confused asking what they were doing in the room. And
what causes the fainting? Is it like when you have this starting? Like, is it your heart rate changes? Or what?
Well, in my
it?
Situation, it, you know, the best way to describe it is the heart is like a house. And you have plumbing and you have electrical. My plumbing is in perfect shape, but it's my electrical that's got a fray somewhere. Steve Kunt or Dr. Carte could probably explain it better than I can, but that's really the best way to describe my problem. You know, there also, I have other risk factors of heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and so I have to be aware of those things also.
So, if you, I mean, really, for everybody, and really young and old, you know, that yearly exam you get, you always think, oh, checking, you know, they always check your blood pressure and different things. You think, oh, I'm fine. But those are some easy, very easy ways to kind of see that there's some stuff going on that people can prevent quicker.
Absolutely. I mean, another risk factor, obviously, we've talked about family history, but high cholesterol. I actually was diagnosed with high cholesterol when I was 19.
Wow.
And so it's something that you need to have checked every year because the fix is very easy. Changing your diet and the medications for those of us with family history when diet's not enough are amazing. And what they have access to now that we didn't have access to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the research that the Heart Association supports.
Yeah, I was going to ask Dr. Corte, like what, you know, what advances are being made right now? What things are, would you have goal, like how do you set a goal for something as big as heart disease? You know what I mean? Same as people that are trying to cure cancer. You go, what, how do you set a goal for something that big?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge undertaking. Just like there's a lot of different kinds of cancer, there's a lot of different kinds of heart disease as well. And I think this is something you and Don just touched on, which is that a lot of people think of this as an older disease. And in some ways it is. It has that characteristics. I mean, it's the number one killer in the United States, number one killer in most, actually, developed countries. And it's the fastest growing disease in developing countries, in part because people are living a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes beyond that, just what we typically refer to as ischemic heart disease, which is a lack of blood flow to the heart, or what you would commonly think of as a
bypasses.
when you get a little, can't get enough blood flow to the heart, that's when you get a myocardial infarction. But there's a lot of different other diseases, and Dawn's probably an example of this, where you have, she mentioned something wrong with her electrical system. Mm-hmm. So the heart basically generates its own electric current to pump with every heartbeat. And if something gets messed up along the way, then the heart's not going to pump efficiently. You're not going to deliver enough blood to your tissues, and that's when you get fainting spells or numbness in your extremities, that sort of thing.
Oh, the numbness, too, is another sign.
Yeah. And then there's one thing, it's another thing that's very important, is that there's a number of inherited cardiomyopathies as well that can affect children or may not even present until later in life, or that's when you get your sudden death or that sort of thing. So there's definitely a very wide range of heart disease, from the disease of the muscle to the blood vessels, the plumbing, as Don said.
Are defects considered heart? Like, you know, I feel like we see a lot in the news, like you'll be shocked at a 12-year-old that just dies playing basketball.
Sure, yeah.
Is that also fall into that category where
Absolutely.
They don't know they have like a irregular heartbeat or something's going on that's just not quite right?
Right. A lot of these, there's a mutation in just a single protein or something, you know, or that would lead to that sort of syndrome. And what typically happens, like athletes especially, they have a normal growth of the heart. It's called hypertrophy. So in response to exercise, their heart grows to compensate for the extra pumping. But there's also a pathological, a disease hypertrophy that can occur. And sometimes I think when you hear about those young athletes, it's usually a combination of those. They find out that there's an enlarged heart, and then in combination with the hypertrophy that's occurring with exercise, that messes with the electrical system, and you end up with an arrhythmia and sudden death.
I would feel like you'd go to appointments, you know, like if you're, say, 14, 15, and you've been to doctor's appointments, and how does no one know that they have an enlarged heart or that they haven't caught this until they're like playing in the middle of a game and it just happens? Like, is there a way with, you know, the younger kids to kind of see that this is going to happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, part of the problem is that there's not sort of standard testing. You end up going if you have fainting spells or you have some sort of a problem that requires you to go to the doctor. But if you appear to be a normal, healthy 14-year-old, you know, boy, there's no reason for them to hook you up to an electrocardiograph machine or anything like that. And it may even appear relatively normal.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure could be fine. Heart rate rhythm could be fine. It's just, it's a scary thing that happens.
That's crazy, yeah. Because you just go, oh my gosh, you are sort of having to throw caution to the wind and just hope for the best in some situations. So some have obvious signs, some come out of nowhere.
Right.
So we've got you guys in studio today, obviously, to talk about the Heart Walk for the American Heart Association. We're teaming up with you this year at KISS. It's going to be, I've got the date right here in front of me. I've got a bunch of pieces of paper written down. Saturday, October 15th.
Yes.
And there's a Seattle walk and a Tacoma walk, which is awesome. So for some South Enders that, or even people beyond there that want to be able to, you know, take part, they can get to the Tacoma. Or if you're North End or Seattle, you can do Seattle. Or really just whichever one you think you'd enjoy more. But you can go to kissfmseattle.com and you can register to be a walker there. And it's open to all ages. You can also register online at PugetSoundHeartWalk.org, correct?
Yes.
Now, do they need to do PierceCountyHeartWalk.org for the Tacoma walk?
Yes.
Okay. Or they can go to kissfmseattle.com to register for either, and you get your choice. Now, do you guys have a goal every year as far as what did you raise last year, and then what are you hoping for this year?
Our goal is obviously to raise awareness of heart disease, which is what we're talking about today. But our goal is to raise $1.8 million to support the mission of the Heart Association and the research that Steve does and other things.
Each walker just try to raise do they have to have a certain amount to walk, or is it just – hit up your friends and family and just give them what you can.
There's not a minimum to walk. I'm part of a community team committee, and we're trying to encourage people to form their own community teams. And what we mean by that is obviously there are some corporate teams and there's work teams. KISS has a team. But we're also trying to encourage people to create their own teams. Moms groups, if you have a walking group, just your friends and your family, your neighbors, put a group together and, you need a team captain and a goal. And if everybody tries to raise $50 as part of their own community team, it would go a long ways towards meeting our goals.
So really, each person in a community team, if they just hit up their office or their
and ask for their coffee money one day,
right?
you're going to meet your goal.
Really clean up pretty well, I think. I
absolutely.
Don't think people think outside the box.
Also start a team and hit up your Facebook friends. Most people have a ton of Facebook friends, and that's something that can work pretty well as well.
Do you guys have anything on your websites that I know some different walks and runs will do it where they can put the person's name in and donate? Is that something you have that too? That's really easy.
Yeah, a lot of people who participate, whether they donate or actually walk, a lot of walkers will walk. If they're not survivors, they will walk in honor of somebody.
Okay.
And we actually give you tribute stickers that you can put on your shirt.
Okay.
And you can write somebody's name on there. And then when you donate through the website, you're given the choice to say, I'm donating in honor of somebody.
Okay, so you just make sure, like, friends or family, when you go to the site, just put this person's name in and it'll go to that.
Correct.
Oh, that's neat. I think people like that. It's really gotten so easy over the years to be able to raise the money for these walks, you know, as opposed to stalking your office workers, which I'm all for. I just sold Girl Scout cookies this year. Nobody wants to see me walk through the building anymore. But they have definitely made it easier with the social networking. I mean, there's
absolutely
so many people. It just keeps going and going.
And this is a great event for kids also, because it is a walk. It's not a run, although if you'd like to, you know, run quickly, you can.
That's crazy talk.
I know. I only run if I'm chased.
I know, right?
But it's definitely a great event for kids. It also is a great way to make them start to be aware of the things that they need to be aware of as they're growing up, and the risk factors, and taking, you know, good care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, if you do put a team together or just put a group of walkers together, whether you're fundraising as a group or not, it's a fun event. I know my girlfriends
Absolutely.
And friends, we already have our t-shirts planned. A lot of groups kind of, it's an unofficial competition. Costumes, but we have, you know, our team. You know, is go Dawn, and so they, you know, my friends are getting quite creative on what we're going to be wearing and our t-shirts and our mottos. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of fun, and, you know, to identify yourself as a team and have your own t-shirt and
cool.
wear
when
your
else,
own color.
When else do you get to walk straight down the middle of 3rd Street?
Yeah, exactly.
Without really having to dodge cars.
Exactly.
Now, is there a difference? I mean, it literally just location for the Tacoma and the Seattle. It's the same distance, it's the same thing. All ages, walks.
There is a difference. Tacoma is actually a little bit longer. Their routes are 2 and 4 miles, so a little bit more strenuous, I would say. But it's a very pretty walk. It goes through North Tacoma. And then Seattle, we have a 5K and a 1 mile survivor route.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious if there's ways, like, okay, so we talked about family history, and I think, okay, well, if my mom has a pacemaker, and my grandfather passed away, you know, at a fairly, you know, in his 50s from a heart attack sudden. What should I be doing that might work, you know, help me down the road where I can avoid going down the same path as my mom or my grandfather?
Well, you should definitely check with your doctor first. I'm not an MD, mm-hmm. so I can't provide that kind of advice. But if you have a family history, definitely let your doctor know that. I mean, that's one of the number one indicators for future problems is a family history. So check with your doctor and go ahead and try to start exercising it. Maybe
the cardio every day, huh?
That's just
key,
just go for a walk.
The walks. I know.
It doesn't have to be complicated at all.
Yeah.
And I think what's important is just being educated, and the American Heart Association has an amazing website and a lot of materials on that website. For women, the Go Red campaign, which also you can get through the American Heart Association website, it's know the risk factors. And like you said, you talk to your doctor, and part of the battle is you need to go into the doctor at least once a year. Mm-hmm. I'm always shocked when I'm talking to people at events how many people don't have a physical every year.
I know.
Especially for those of us who have recently hit 40. I mean, you need to be doing these things and know your risk factors. And one of the ways to know your risk factors is, unfortunately, you do have to go to the doctor. You do need to get a blood draw, know your cholesterol, know your numbers, know your cholesterol, know your risk for diabetes, and know your blood pressure. So know your numbers would be the number one thing. If you don't do anything else, is know your numbers.
Yeah,
because right there,
you'll
know your risks.
It's so simple. Your doctor's going to tell you if there's anything that's not in the right range.
Absolutely.
You will know fast.
So, you know, the first step is obviously being aware of your numbers and your risk. The second step is obviously doing something about it. And like Steve said, is, you know, exercising, eating right. The problem is that people feel like it's all or nothing. I know.
Isn't that, and we all do that. I think we can fall into patterns where we're really good for a while, and then sometimes it's like, oh, because I can't work out every day this week,
I might as well just
work
out
at all. Yeah, it's the moderation part, I think, with food, with diet, with anything. I mean, you don't have to give up. I feel like in life you shouldn't have to give up anything. You just can have it in a small amount.
Well, and personally, I gained quite a bit of weight after my surgery, and I'm still struggling to lose it. And I definitely battle it every single day. And I think part of it is letting people know you have a goal, and, you know, having you, hopefully holding you accountable.
Yeah.
But I think that the most important thing is to always start over. If you don't do well, you have another day one, and have as many day ones as you need to have to make the changes.
Absolutely. Every day is a new day. So you can just go, okay, yesterday sucked. Fine. I get it. But you can start fresh.
And you don't need to go be a runner and run a marathon or be a triathlete. You just need to move for 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And you hear that and you think, oh, that can't really, but it does. The research shows just simply moving 20 to 30 minutes extra a day will make a huge difference in lowering your risk factors for heart disease.
Even just standing versus sitting doubles your metabolic rate.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I know I drive my friends crazy when I'm at home because I'm always doing stuff. Like, I'm cleaning things, I'm wiping things, and they're like, oh my God, would you just sit down? And I think probably because at work I'm sitting down for the whole show, so then I'm just busy, busy, busy all the time. So now I actually have something to say back to them,
you know,
when they give me a hard time.
But you can tell them that your metabolic rate is twice what theirs is, and let's have a competition. Yeah.
Guess what? Guess who's burning twice as many calories right now? This girl is. So, you know what's funny? My mom, after her a heart attack and then her pacemaker,
which means she's bionic like me now.
I know, right? And
I love the bionic
woman. You have a certificate so you don't set off alarms.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I find that she's like afraid to exercise now because she thinks, oh my gosh, I'm going to get my heart rate too high. And I try to explain to her that your heart is a muscle and it's going to get weak or it can get stronger. So, you know, it's do two blocks. But you have to start somewhere. But she's so afraid, I think, of having another heart attack. Like she doesn't trust the pacemaker. She doesn't trust, you know, what is being told to her because she just thinks it's not going to end well. And so it's really, what do you tell someone, though, that's going through that? Like, how do you encourage them?
I know for me that I totally understand how she's feeling, especially when your life has been threatened in that way. You tend to withdraw and just really, you know, not want to move forward, and you are afraid of everything, and it can consume you. And I definitely have struggled with that personally this last 2 years, is not wanting to exercise because I feel like, well, if I feel dizzy, I'm going to faint again and I'm going to have cardiac arrest. But I think it's just getting past that and realizing that you did survive and that she is a survivor. And if she can feel and embrace that and feel the power of being a survivor, that she can hopefully move again and get going. And the pacemaker, the research and that the American Heart Association has supported over the years has allowed the technology to move forward so rapidly and so amazing. And just the pacemaker I have versus the one my grandmother had is amazing.
Well, it's
and
like
it's
the
there
old
to protect her.
And then the new laptops, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's very, very different, yeah.
It's amazing. We were joking about it in the lobby that I'm pretty certain that my computer chip has a GPS and, you know, we want to know if we can pick up Wi-Fi on it. It's amazing what it can do.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that it's also trusting, you know, you're knowing your body and trusting that the doctors have done what they need to do to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get moving, you can become a slave to the heart disease and you can become, you know, just completely immobile. And
yeah.
I think that's where I would suggest that she do some reading on the website and reach out to some support groups.
Yeah, I think so. I do. I totally get the thought process of being a
absolutely
parade.
I totally
you
get
know,
it
it's like
I
people
feel
that
her.
Get bucked off a horse, they're not going to want to ride horses again. And it's a heart
sure.
rate thing that freaks people out of. I totally get it.
And and for me, I've used that as an excuse to not exercise also.
Well,
so
she's really tired all the time.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that's because it's like it's a domino effect. I mean, you
absolutely.
Do have to get moving again.
It's a catch 22. You don't feel good, so you don't want to exercise. But then if you exercise, you would feel better.
Exactly.
And it is. It is a definite, a constant battle. But I think what you said earlier about just, okay, yesterday was a bad day. Today is day one again.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting back on that horse and not being, you know, completely immobilized by the disease. And I think that, you know, if people really understood that heart disease is the number one killer and really started to make the changes, we would see so much good could be done for people.
And I'd say, not to sound like a broken record, but mm-hmm. she should also, you know, check with her doctor and ask her doctor and maybe that's someone in a position of authority that she would trust to tell her that it's okay to exercise or not.
She's one of these ones that
sure.
will always think that they're not telling her the right
thing.
I'm telling this to a doctor, you know, and you're a researcher, but
right.
I feel like it's hysterical when I'm like, oh my gosh, mother, I think they know if the test is one thing or the other. And she just still goes, well, I don't think it's right because I feel this way, you know, and then you go, oh Lord.
Yeah.
It's like talking to a wall sometimes. But I think that, yeah, it's the baby steps. I think anyone listening right now that is a survivor that maybe hasn't gotten back on track since having surgery or being put on certain medicines just need to get moving again. So the heart walk's a great way to start.
The heart walk is a great way.
Yeah, the shorter route, like you said, you said there's two in Tacoma, so there's a two and a four.
In Tacoma, it's 2 and 4, and then in Seattle, it's a little over 3 miles, and then a 1 mile route for survivors.
So I feel like the 1 mile route would be great for some people that are like, okay, I do want to get involved, but
right. Well, and the 1 mile survivor route, it's very empowering. It's very inspiring. There's cheerleaders along the way. They really make you feel special, and I think that you know, if you are a survivor. That's something you should do at least once is do the survivor walk because you meet other people
mm-hmm.
and you talk to other people who are going through this similar thing, especially for somebody in my age group. It's nice to see other young people that are living with this. And so it's a good way.
Mm-hmm. I think in general, you know, I've got a really close friend with rheumatoid arthritis. And I think the only thing that gets her through the worst days is having all these other people that she's on Facebook with that
yes.
know exactly what it feels to wake up and feel cruddy. I think it's the same thing. I think it's important to know people that have been through the exact same thing because you could sit and vent to friends and family all you want about how you're feeling on certain days or a fear of, you know, working out again, things like that. But I don't know if completely they're going to, you know, they're going to go, oh, yeah, I feel bad. And
well, and your friends and family, I think, I wouldn't say that my friends and family are tired of hearing about it, but I could understand from their point of view that they don't, there's no way they can quite understand how I'm feeling. And I think that if you do talk to other survivors, it helps a lot. At the Heart Walk also, there's a lot of booths, a lot of information. I don't know if the firefighter's going to be there again this year.
You know, I'm not actually quite sure, but
last year, last year, my favorite booth was the firefighter's
really?
Calendar.
That's odd.
You know, the calendar.
I've judged those before.
You have,
and
lucky
I
you.
I have gone to those unveiling events a few times.
Yes. So I know they were there last year, so I'm shout out that hopefully we'll have that booth again. So they did have the firefighter calendars there and they had them autographing
it.
You
have to dangle what you have to dangle to get people out to walk.
My 13-year-old daughter tried to steal the calendar from me. except I did point out that it was signed to me.
Hang it in your room if you want,
exactly.
But it's signed to mom. Now
so
it's
they
nerdy.
Do have some really fun, they have fun booths and fun things and a lot of education at the event. It's not just the walk. There's booths and ways for you to to become more informed. They will also have, you know, blood pressure checks and things like that. So it's a really fun event. And it, again, when else can you walk down the middle of the street without being arrested? Exactly.
Or arrested. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
So again, the event's going to be Saturday, October 15th. It is for the American Heart Association. It's the annual Heart Walk. KISS is teaming up with you guys. There's a Seattle and Tacoma, and we have made it easy by setting up a link on kissfmseattle.com. Just click on the events page, and it'll let you choose between the Seattle Walk or the Tacoma Walk. And there's no minimum amount. You know, you don't have to. Certain, you know, walks have been like where you have a minimum of this is how much you have to raise in it. Stresses people out, and then I think some maybe don't do it some years because they think, oh, I'm not going to have time to raise $2,000, you know, to enter. This one is get as many friends and family as you can together to walk, go around your office, gather what you can, because every dollar helps.
Absolutely.
Knowing from the research side of it, I bet the dollar amounts, like we probably can't wrap our head around what it takes to do research to really get groundbreaking things done.
Right. Well, I mean, the best thing about it is, so the American Heart Association, in addition to bringing, you know, clinicians and researchers together and promoting awareness of heart disease, they fund grants for undergraduates, graduate students, postdocs like myself, and established investigators. And I was just telling Don and Francesca, I just cycled off a grant at the end of June, but I'm not done researching. So You get a grant for a certain period of time, but then that helps establish you in the world of research. And so it really, you end up for a relatively small investment, mm-hmm. getting years and years of cardiac research out of it, for all these people and promoting, the research, lifestyle. And so it's more than just, you know, 2 years of research and you're done. No, it's 30 years of research.
Oh, I was going to say
that this helped establish that the American Heart Association helped establish this person's career.
How do you, as a research, it's like we started this interview with, like, where do you start? Like, how do you, just have to break it down into categories of?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know where you'd start.
Well, there's a lot known. And so, like I said, you have a particular area, say you choose ischemic heart disease or an arrhythmia, those are called channelopathies. And, you just take a look at, you break it down. It's called a reductionist approach in science.
Like ages,
and you break it down.
Exactly. And then you break that down.
Specific, you know, pick even a particular protein. You can study this one protein and figure out how it works, how it goes wrong with disease, and how you can fix it. And that could basically be a career.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Because I just always feel like whenever, for cancer research, for anything, I just think, wow, that is the weight of the world on you as a researcher. You know what I mean? Because you want so badly to find what it is, but where do you start?
Well, it's the nice thing is it's a team effort, and so just the knowledge builds, and people take advantage of that, and you can build off of it, basically.
Yeah. And I think that's what's important about the Heart Walk is understanding is that there's two goals with the Heart Walk is obviously getting people out there to walk and creating awareness about heart disease and the risk factors, and then the other goal being to raise the funds in order to support the research and to support the programs that the Heart Association is responsible for. And I've talked to Steve in detail about the work that he's doing, and it just blows your mind. It's amazing what is coming and what's groundbreaking. And without the money to support people like Steve, you won't have, you know, a solution and a cure.
Yeah, we'll just be stuck in a standstill situation.
Right. So I think it's important for people to understand that we want you out there at the Heart Walk. We want to build awareness about heart disease. And then secondary, we really want the fundraising to be there too. So any kind of support that you can do, either by walking or supporting another walker or a team, would be greatly appreciated.
And again, so AmericanHeartAssociation.org. Is that the best site for people to go to get all the information they need?
It's actually heart.org. That's our national website, and it's got a ton of information on there about all kinds of heart disease and actually also stroke.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be the place for people to start.
Absolutely.
To go and kind of pick the site, and maybe if you have a relative that you kind of think something is up with, or, you know, a parent, you know, that's getting a little older and maybe not doing the appointments that they're supposed to do, it just would be a good place to start, do a little bit of research.
There's a lot of information on there that's also about prevention. So we have a section that's really just about nutrition and what you can do, whether you're a mom, you're a single person cooking for yourself, you know, how do you cook healthy? How do you tell from a healthy fat to a non-healthy one? Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of things in there.
Yeah. If anything. Well, you guys, I wish you well with the walk this year. Again, Saturday, October 15th, it's the Heart Walk. It's there's a Seattle and a Tacoma. Just go to kissfmseattle.com, click on the events page, and it will ask you if you want to do the Seattle Walk or the Tacoma Walk. And you can also say there's going to be a drop down if you want to put it in honor of somebody, if you make a donation also at the site. So we've got all the bases covered. And I hope you guys make a ton of money for research this year. And everyone just has a great time, though. It is just a blast.
It's a really fun event.
Yeah. Well, good luck. And great. Thank you guys
thank
so much
you.
For coming
thank
in
you.
For Kiss Talk.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.